Why do you think it is that Africans just don't travel around the continent in general? Like, why do people go say, I'm going to Dubai rather than say, I'm going to Sao Tome or going to South Africa or going to, you know, Tanzania? Why do you think that, you know, our people are kind of, they're limited in their ability to travel on the continent? I'm African or Black American, and I want to go back to the continent. I've never been. Where do I go?
If you're African American, definitely, like I would say.
Hello, my people. Welcome back to another episode of The Jola Meets the Madi. This is officially episode 8, I believe. No, episode 9, I believe. Season is flying by. Thank y'all for your support. I'm your boy, DJ Anzo. Unfortunately, Uncle E can't be here today. He came down with a terrible flu, so we're sending him well wishes and a speedy recovery. But we have a really exciting guest for you. I'm so excited to talk to this man. We'll get into that in a second. But please, if you haven't, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, share on all our platforms. We're across multiple platforms, and your support does not go unseen. Really appreciate it. Yeah, basically, my demo has just been working, work really in all aspects and just staying after it. and we've been engaging with you guys on all of our platforms, the YouTubes, the TikToks, and man, you guys are great. We really appreciate all comments, good and bad. Just keep them coming. And yeah, just sending love to you all. Hope you're well. Our guest today comes from none other than one of my favorite places in the world, and I really need to go there. I'll let the man talk about it, but we have one of Africa's premier, and I'm not even trying to be biased, but one of the most exciting ideas coming out of the continent right now. I'm going to introduce the man, Kevin. Kevin from Travel Clan. Kev, welcome to the pod.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Anzo. How you doing?
I'm good, bro. How's everything on your side?
Yo, everything's blessed, man. Everything's blessed.
You've been pretty busy lately, or how's life been treating you?
I mean, it's been cool, you know, work and everything that comes with that. I think it was your birthday recently, right? How did you celebrate?
Yeah, it was, man. My actual birthday, I just celebrated by going on a long walk, and then I had dinner with the fam, but the weekend leading to it was crazy, and this weekend has been crazy as well. So, boys are trying to recover. What was that?
When was your birthday?
It was Tuesday, the 25th.
Oh, 25th. All right, cool. You were almost an Aries, but then I guess you're
a Taurus. Right? Yeah, I'm a Taurus.
You were almost great.
Taurus gang, hey yo, that's crazy. No, man, welcome to the pod. I'm excited to talk to you about the Travel Clan. And everything about it.
Yeah.
But the one thing we always ask our guests is, who are you and where are you really, really from? So what does that mean? Your heritage on both sides. Kind of break that down for us just so we understand the lens that we're coming at, or you're coming from.
So my family is actually from Ogbomosho, which is in Oyo State in Nigeria. But I was born and raised in Ghana. So I guess I'm kind of in the middle of that Jollof war debate. I'm never going to answer which one, but then I think I claim both. I guess I am a Nigerian Ghanaian. Ghanaian Nigerian.
Okay.
Depends on how you look at it. Yeah.
And how did that go over with your Ghanaian friends? And, you know, did they ever know that you're Nigerian, or what? How did they see that?
You know, it's interesting. Growing up, I was always the Nigerian person in class. So it was like, every time anybody would address me, I would always be a foreigner. But then every time I went to Nigeria, I was the Ghanaian cousin, you know? So I guess I can talk to my therapist about, like, you know, always being displaced. I can have that conversation. But then I guess it kind of feeds into my interest for travel. I don't want to say like never really felt at place at one in one particular space, but then I've always wanted to explore more. And then also had a passion for like traveling Africa and exploring different cultures. So I think that's kind of manifested in like the travel clan and the birth of it.
So it's almost like a broken native, right? The continent, it was kind of your playground is what I'm getting.
A bit. I think I definitely, when I was growing up, did that trip from Accra to Lagos, even by road, a couple of times. So definitely very conversant
Mad.
with the that West African corridor. And so I think I just became like a African citizen, you know.
No, that's really dope, Kev. And as you know, the Jolamadi or the Jolamista Madi, our job here and our mission is to edutain our listeners on everything African. So whether that's culture, music, travel, food, anything, history, that's our mission here. You fit right into that realm with the travel, right? Obviously, the Travel Clan is something that you kicked off. But for those who don't know what it is, can you just give us a sort of a short spiel on what the Travel Clan is, and then we'll dissect that.
Definitely. So, the Travel Clan is something myself and my co-founder Caleb, shout out to Caleb, we thought up in 2018. Back then I was working back home in Ghana, working in banking, and had an interest in exploring, like just going on holiday, you know. I just really stressed working banking long hours, and I was like, hey, want to go on holiday somewhere. Don't want to break the bank in terms of like traveling far, but I still wanted that tropical feel, right? So my friend Caleb, who was my colleague at the time, was like, hey, same thing. And then just like looking on the map, and then we looked at Sao Tome, right? And Sao Tome is just off the coast of West Africa. But then it's funny, a lot of people had never even heard of it. So my friend and I went on a trip. Decided to like create content, but we actually started off just like going back a little bit. Started off by putting on a bush, like creating a brochure, putting it out to a couple of friends, and finding out if people were interested. Because we realized that traveling in a group would be cheaper, like getting an Airbnb versus like getting like a hotel or something like that, so we could share those costs. And then once we did that, we realized and documented, put it on social media. Realized there was definitely a lot of interest from like my friends in our circles, like, hey, where is this? Oh, I didn't even know that was a place. Like, let's go on your next trip, you know? So we realized that there was definitely an appetite or a gap for people exploring different African countries. So there was definitely like that knowledge gap, and then also just like needing the like an experienced curator to designed that trip. And going back to the question, like, what is Travel Clan? So Travel Clan is, I would define it as like a travel community that curates trips around the continent. So we just like really emphasize a lot on like storytelling, making sure that we are curating the best kind of experience and authentic experiences for people who join us on any of our trips.
No, that's super dope, bro. kind of going back to that, you mentioned when you documented your travel with your friend, it sparked interest, right? Why do you think it is that Africans just don't travel around the continent in general? Like, why do people go say, I'm going to Dubai rather than saying going to Sao Tome or going to South Africa or going to, Tanzania? Why do you think that? Our people are kind of they're limited in their ability to travel on the continent.
It's a loaded question. I think there are a lot of factors. It's difficult to like pin it on one thing. I think off the top, you could literally just like start off by talking about the cost, right? It's significantly more expensive to travel within Africa than like within any other continent, right? So think about it. A flight from Lagos to Cameroon, example, right, could be about $700. Like think about a flight from Accra to London, you know, it's close to the same amount, right? When I'm thinking about, I mean, people would naturally think that, like, where can I get the most value for my buck?
Right.
So if I'm going to drop like $1,000 on a flight, would I want to go somewhere within Africa or going outside? So I think that's the way people think. Mm. But then I think that's also conflated by how nationalistic we are. Like,
yes,
like colonialism, it's always like people just like really think within their country and then not really exploring outside of it. So it's like somebody could just be like, hey, like, why should I travel to Togo? Why should I travel to Benin? Why should I travel to like all those other places? Aren't they just like where I am?
Right.
But then I think during my experiences, I've realized how different we are.
Right.
Even within Africa, like we have very different lived experiences, very different like perspectives, you know. So there's so many nuances even within our cultures. Even though we do have a lot of similarities, there's definitely a lot we can learn even from these kind of experiences.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a mad thing. Like the amount of diversity, not only within like eco diversity, just diversity within the culture. It's always really interesting to see it from that lens of how rich Africa is as a continent. So that brings me to my next question for you. The Travel Clan is now a self-sustaining company and an experience, right? Where are some places that you've taken people traveling, and also, how does one go about, you know, getting started with the Travel Clan?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we're on all the social media, so I would say that. I think a huge part of, I think, our growth has been engaging potential customers or just like our community by creating like videos, pictures, documenting our experiences on social media. It's I think that's like the first place, just to kind of continue to build your curiosity, especially for somebody who has never traveled to Africa or just like looking to take that big trip to the motherland, right? I think a really good time, I mean people definitely like going to Dirty December, so I think that's like a really great time for people to get that first step of like, yeah, I'm going. I think it's great because you have a lot of large groups that go. So you kind of create this ecosystem of people who are also having that experience, or you can share that first time experience with. I think that's pretty much like how to like start in. Reach out to us on social media or check our website. Number of countries we've been to, done a lot of like West African countries, been to Tanzania. That was like one of my favorite trips.
Yeah.
Actually, Rwanda as well, Kigali. I would say low-key is one of like my favorite trips I've been to. Because I think it was just not what I expected, right? Like,
right.
I think we went in looking at it as more of a, I wouldn't say like educational, but then it was kind of like we know what is happening, what like historically what happened in Rwanda, right? So it was kind of for us looking at it in a lens of like, yeah, going to hit all these museums and then like have these conversations and like document those like conversations. But then I think it ended up being like way more fun than we expected, and just like realized like Kigali is a super vibe.
Kigali is a beautiful city, man. It's a really beautiful city.
Beautiful city. I think it's definitely one of, I mean, I joke, but I was like, if I had to relocate to any country outside of Ghana or Nigeria, any city, probably be Kigali.
Nah, it's beautiful. If you haven't got the opportunity to, please check out Rwanda just as a whole. Beautiful country, Kigali. Beautiful city, as you know, that's my other half, so I'll talk for days. But you touched on Dirty December, bro. You touched on Dirty December. I wanted to ask you something. Lot of people, so obviously shout out to Ghana for opening their doors to everyone right now. It seems like that's the thing to do in December now, right? And it comes with its impacts, right? So talk about kind of what that has done to the local Ghanaian I guess Ghana as a whole, really, in Accra or Kumasi, for those who are traveling there, there's the upside, right? That's super dope. We want more of that all over the continent. But talk about the economic impacts and you know, cost of living increase and kind of the other side that we don't get to see.
Yeah, that's huge, right? I think tourism brings a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. When you think about the impact on the local service sectors. So mm-hmm. there's a study that showed that with like any 10% increase in foreign or international travel, there's a commensurate 4% increase in the local service industry, right? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely upside when it comes to generating foreign investment, tourist dollars. In Ghana in particular, like you said, I think everybody is coming to Ghana.
Yeah.
Ghana is like, it's on everybody's list. When I was in business school, we organized, I organized one of the trips to Ghana, and initially we thought it was probably going to be only the black students who were interested, but that was not even the case. Like, we had everybody wanting to go. I think I joked about this. It's like, I don't know, in the last like 5, 7, 10 years, like Africa became cool. You know, it's like everybody's like trying to like, oh, let's go visit, let's go do this, right?
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I think you touched on the other side, right? Because you have so many people traveling to Ghana, traveling to, especially like during that December period, that you have the local, like people who are indigenous to this, to the city, being unable to participate or being priced out, right? So I was in Ghana just like for 2 months between November and February.
Okay.
And I would say the time during November was very different from like December, like a dirty December time. It's like I saw all my friends, cousins, mm-hmm. and everything like during that first time visiting family. And then that 2 week stretch that like everything goes crazy, is like everybody I knew was like nowhere. And it was just like everybody from the States, from UK, you know, like
definitely
tables, all of that. Uh-huh. Right? So there's definitely like a huge impact. You have like huge, I mean, already I think underlying factors in terms of the economic, the economic like underlying factors might not necessarily be sound, especially when you look at like how much the country imports. And then mm-hmm. I'm sure we could go into a whole other conversation.
Right.
But then when you also look at the demand or like the influx of foreigners into the country, we have a lot of people like who are native to the country being adversely affected mm-hmm. as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely don't think I have any number in terms of like how that has impacted, like quantifying.
Yeah, it's hard to.
It's hard to like put a figure on that, but yeah.
But I think the generally what we would hope to see is that there's a trade-off, or the trade-off is positive, right? So the mm-hmm. influx of tourism brings about like more infrastructure that's also being able to be sustained by the locals, you know.
It's
kind of the idea of like who owns the who really owns the hospitality industry, right? Talking about say Uganda, like a lot of the places are not owned by Ugandans. The workers there might be, but you know, you'll travel to hotels and it's owned by like a German or an Australian or a Lebanese, something like that. Kind of tell me about your experience. Like, has that been an experience for you, or some of the premier destinations?
Definitely. I think when I think back to one of the trips we did to Zanzibar, right?
Okay.
So that whole Nungwi stretch around the beaches, like there are resorts, I would say every other kilometer. Like it's crazy how much they have made it conducive for or just like identified that is a tourist attraction. So like they're definitely maximizing that. Mm. But then when you think about it, who is really benefiting? Is it benefiting the people who live there, or is it benefiting foreign investors who have come? So Like all the resorts I stayed in Tanzania were all foreign owned. All owned by, I believe, I think they were all Germans. I don't know if there's like any to like show exactly who owns everything.
Yeah.
But then like they were all owned by Germans. And I think that's disheartening for me because if people are visiting a country, I think it's important for the people who are actually telling the story or guiding the experience to be off the country. Like, who is going to tell your story better than you can, right?
Yeah. And
I think storytelling isn't like just movies or like music or podcasts or like radio shows. It's in how we live, right? So if you're curating an experience or somebody's living in a hotel which is like has this Afrocentric theme, and then it's just I think it's just like saddening that a lot of these I would say like what we call like the tourist vendors are not from or not off the communities or countries or that they're representing. But then I do think there's definitely opportunity for a lot of us to go back and like I think like give back. A personal friend and mentor, he actually set up a hotel. This is back, so I'm talking about back home in Ghana, called Bridgeview. It's one of the biggest, like, brightest hotels that's been set up and like tourist attractions, like right over the Adome Bridge. So it has an amazing view. You should definitely check that out. They actually, I think they're having the NFL draft. They're doing one of the picks live from there. I think it's the Ravens.
Oh man,
I hope I'm right. But that's then dope. Yeah, like that is dope. That is dope. And like, you know, it's definitely putting, I think all exposure is great exposure, right? It's definitely putting like Ghana and then us on and like Africa as a whole on the spotlight. People like talking more. People not like, you know, back in the day, when you told somebody you're from Ghana, they'll be like, "Who are you from? Guyana?" You know, there was always that confusion. But then, like right now, if I say I'm from Ghana, people are like, "Oh yeah, I know Ghana." You know, so I think that's great. I think that's a shining example, and there's definitely opportunity for more people, or like for us to like continue like blazing that trail.
100%. I think there's a lot of opportunity, not only for us, but for also our people back home, right? I think it's just a matter of just exposure. Once people become exposed to just, you know, business trends and business savvy, I think that it's a huge opportunity for us back home. Brings me to my next point. Highlighting and speaking love to one of my favorite things to do is stay away from the city. I love going back home and partying in the city and enjoying the city lights and the nightlife and all that. But the time I feel most like just at peace and connected is when I'm away, like in the countryside, enjoying, I don't know, whether I'm on a safari or I'm just somewhere like in the village and living like a proper traditional lifestyle. That's one of my favorite things to do. Have you got to experience that? And what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. So I would say one of my favorite experiences leading the travel clan has been, so I would say it's two that I think. One of them was us literally just camping on a beach. So there was this like stretch of a beach, and then we just got tents and put them out there for a whole weekend. I think it was an extended weekend because Ghana, we like our holidays, so I think the Monday we weren't going to work either. But then that was amazing, just being able to unplug, you know.
Yep.
And then I think another one was we went to this eco resort called Meet Me There.
Okay.
And that also had a very rustic feel, you know. And I think it's kind of great sometimes when you are able to unplug, because I think if I remember correctly, the service was pretty bad over there. So we were able to like, I mean, it was frustrating at some point, I mean, in some periods, but then we were able to like, you know, put our phones away, like enjoy the scenery.
And really disconnect,
like,
right?
Talk to the I don't want to say natives, but like those who stay there, like understand what their way of life is, because You know, it's sometimes, I mean, we're all like tied in these like concrete jungles, like in this like rat race of life. But like sometimes you just like need to unplug and like gain perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Like what exactly are you doing all of this for?
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely important for us to do that. I think when you think about the whole Detty December moniker that like Ghana's has created, I mean, it's great,
Yeah.
but then
I think for I get what you're saying. For sort of intellect, it's like you want to move away from that, right? Or not away, you want to still experience that, but you want to like compound that experience with something that's like fulfilling, you
with
know?
something more.
Yeah.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
know, I think there's definitely more to connect people with than just like partying, you know?
Right,
And
right.
I mean, it's great to be able to continue to rewrite our story or our reality in terms of, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember my cousin coming from the States and then being like, "Hey, where's your tree?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And it's like, "Oh, didn't you live in Chile?" I'm you know, so I mean, I don't think kids of today are ever going to like continue to think that. I think we're definitely through our music, films, like all of that, been able to export a better depiction of what the reality of like Africa is in
Definitely.
all different forms. But then like when I'm talking about just like the travel and like the Dirty December, like I really hope that people don't just come for the parties and then just like having a good time, but like really are curious about like people's or like the what like the authentic
Yeah.
experience of being in Ghana is. Like, what is their reality? Like, why do they do what they do? Why do these
Exactly.
people eat with their hands? You know, I remember we had a trip recently where everybody had to eat. I think we're eating, I can't remember what it was, Bangku or something, and then like you had to eat with your hands, and it was like an experience for them, like eating with your hands with the soup, and
Yeah.
something that like I just thought was natural. It's like people don't want to use a fork, they don't want to use a spoon, and I don't know,
Yeah.
just it's interesting. I just think it's important to feed that curiosity, right?
Exactly.
And that's why we kind of call it the travel clan, because I think what we're trying to build are like is a community of people who are just like curious about like learning like different cultures and then like global citizens, you know?
Yeah, no, that's super dope, man. And I was gonna equate it to like going to Italy just to party. It's like, that's not really a thing, right? You go to Italy, you want to experience Florence, you know, Tuscany. You want to go, say, Rome. You want to explore the history of it. It's like it's a well-rounded tourist experience, and I think that moving past the Detty December for the continent, I think is something that needs to happen. And shout out to you guys for doing that with the travel plan. Last thing I'll get into with you.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, go
not
ahead.
saying you can't come and have a dirty December experience with us. Like, definitely come through. But
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's definitely more than that. So,
There's a lot more to that, especially with how rich, just for example, in Ghana, how rich that culture is, you know. There's so many things to learn about. But yeah, the last thing I wanted to ask you is, obviously visas are hard to come by for some odd reason in the continent. Like even intra-African travel is difficult. What are your thoughts on just on that whole thing? Is we've broken down the cost, right? Let's talk about the free travel within the continent. You've had to apply for visas and whatnot. What is your take on that? Do you think like we should really just be open borders, or I know obviously
yeah, I
politically
mean,
there's a little complication there, but yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
yeah, 100%. I think there should definitely be a lot more openness in terms of freedom of movement. I mean, people are only going to do business with places like with other countries that they can directly get to, you know? I mean, when you think about like the US, they had, I think they're open. I really think the US is a great example. I think, for instance, in Europe, they, I think, what's the word? Airline deregulation, I believe, was in 1993. So that's why you have way cheaper fares. I mean, that's like one of the contributing factors, right? Where you have way cheaper fares from people, I mean, traveling from like London to Paris, all of that, right? Look at, for instance, the tariff breakdown on a price ticket.
Okay.
I think in Europe it's, or is it the US? Just want to like disclaimer here. I just need to be sure. But then I think it's like 7.5%.
Okay.
Right? That's the tariff.
Yep.
The cost of flying within Africa. So like, for instance, a flight from Accra to Lagos is about $400-$500.
Yeah.
And over 50 to, I would say, 3/4 of that price is tariffs or taxes.
Okay.
You know, so in essence, right, the cost of the flight isn't necessarily more expensive. It's the politics behind it, or like the government regulations. And if you want to tackle like intra-African travel, like I don't think like tech or like a startup or a VC can come and like create a new product without that governmental agreement or like bilateral agreement behind it that would actually like make all of this work, you know? So it's super tough. With our trips, we've definitely had to have, like, I think when I went to Rwanda, I did need a visa, but it was a visa on arrival, so it wasn't terrible.
Okay, cool.
But
cool.
Then the idea that I'm barred for after like apply to South Africa for a visa or somewhere, like, to me just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
When like you would have people from the US who can travel to these places for free.
Right.
First of all, I mean, to me that doesn't make any sense. Like, if I'm in Africa, if you're an African country and you are not, you are requiring visas to enter your country from other African countries, I don't think you can, I don't think you should not require visas from people even coming from even outside. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It really is, man. And I think that issue needs to be like looked at a little deeper. I don't have the most faith in the African Union, but it can be looked at definitely at a governing body's level.
I feel like it's a chicken and an egg situation.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You're thinking about, so they're going to be like, do we invest in infrastructure in travel, but then travel doesn't have enough demand.
Yep.
But then is there going to be demand if the prices don't go down?
Yeah.
And the prices won't go down if there isn't any investment.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So it's like, what comes before? Are you waiting for a demand to like peak? But the demand would never peak if, for instance, you don't actually invest the infrastructure, you know? So
if there's nothing, where do we start? Exactly. No, it's definitely a chicken egg situation. It's a good way to put it. Kev, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I'm gonna ask you this: three places that you must go in Africa. What are they?
Three places. So wait, who is this person? Someone who has never been to Africa before, or somebody who is like from the continent?
I live in a landlocked. I live in Uganda and I haven't left Uganda.
You live in Uganda, you haven't left Uganda. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang. I mean, if you haven't left Uganda, probably, and it's landlocked, you probably haven't been to the beaches. So definitely go to Tanzania. I think it's great.
Good.
If you definitely want to go party in Ghana or Nigeria, I'm going to put them on the same. So I'm not picking one over the other.
Okay.
So just like one of like the same, Ghana and Nigeria. That's one for me. And last, this is like my personal preference because I haven't been before. Mm. So probably go to a North African country. Ideally Morocco.
Okay.
Or Egypt. Yeah. And then like experience that.
Cool.
So I think like I spread it across the map a little bit, you know. So like you can go to East Africa, like enjoy like the white beaches, go for the music and vibes in Ghana, Nigeria, and then go to Northern Africa. You can go see the pyramids, you can go the YSL Museum, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, perfect. And then last one. I'm African or Black American, and I want to go back to the continent. I've never been. Where do I go?
If you're African American, definitely, like I would say, I'm still gonna tie Ghana and Nigeria because I don't want anybody to say I said Ghana, I didn't say Nigeria, or I said Nigeria, I didn't say Ghana. So I think West Africa has like coined itself as the gate to Africa, especially
Okay.
with what they're doing in terms of like think about like pop culture, think about like Afrobeats. I think a lot of people are having, I wouldn't say like their first interaction, but then it's really like sparking a lot of curiosity in the continent, like people like playing Burna Boy, Wizkid, or that, right? So definitely go to one of those countries and then have that experience. I think also the language barrier might be like something that would be eased. Go to South Africa. I think there's definitely a lot in common between African American like history and like struggles in South Africa with apartheid. And that's something I learned on a trip with a couple of South Africans that the travel clan organized. Just in that conversation, I realized that I just realized that there were a lot of parallels in terms of like the way they viewed like their struggle. Think about like civil rights and think about like the independent struggle in South Africa, especially because South Africa they had their independence so late as compared to like other African countries. So I didn't necessarily grow up with that struggle, but then a lot of my peers in South Africa grew up like just coming out of apartheid, you know. So they have that fresh experience with it. And I mean, I would tie it between doing a safari in, I don't know, like Rwanda, Tanzania, probably like going to climb Kilimanjaro. Would personally would love to do that.
Got it.
So yeah.
Perfect. Nah, thank you for sharing that, man. Kev, I want to thank you for joining, well, me, but us today. Really enjoyed our conversation. I've learned a lot, just not only about the travel clan, but past that, just travel back home. For those who don't know where to find the travel clan, what are your socials? How do we find you? And yeah, how do we connect?
So Travel Clan is at the Travel Clan underscore. That's on all our socials, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And then like reach out to us on our and check out our website at www.travelclan.com. So yeah. So reach out to us if you're curious about traveling Africa.
Nah, perfect. Kev, thank you so much for joining us. Sending love always, and I hope you're staying well out there. And we're looking forward to when we make our travel clan experience.
Of course,
Yeah.
anytime.
All right, bro. You take care.